World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, let's be truthful here. I always try to be truthful. We can wish, can't we? Can we wish? Fletcher, I want to thank Chris Fletcher for sending me something I can wish for. Hillary in a jumpsuit, right? Chris and Vanessa Fletcher. Maybe should I just set that thing there all day, right there, just to keep my hopes up? Every time I get discouraged, equal justice tour, huh? Oh, there's a face only Bill Clinton could love right there. There it is, huh? Yeah. Hillary.
Amen.
Hillary.
Amen.
Yeah, so thanks, Chris.
That on the toilet paper.
Yeah, right. Well, I got it right here. I got that toilet paper. There's the Hillary toilet paper and the Hillary. Wow. Put a hat on her. Thanks, Chris. Vanessa. Oh, you guys out there, where am I going to put it? I'll put this right here. I'll put this right here. You know, every day when I come down here, I think I know what I'm going to do. By the way, it says right here on the side of it, you probably can't see it. HRC 2016. Oh, my goodness. Every day when I come down, you guys, I prepare a show every day I come. And sometimes it just goes crazy. Like yesterday, I thought it was a great, great show. But when I came down the steps, that wasn't what I had on my mind. You say down the steps. Yeah, I got like Bill Clinton's got a hat, or I'm sorry, Donald Trump had an escalator. I got an escalator too. So I came down the escalator yesterday, and the show took off went a different direction. And sometimes I how do I say this? I fly by the seat of my pants, you know. And yesterday I touched on a subject that was really thanks, Ernie. My wife just brought my phone down to me. I forgot that. I touched on a subject I wasn't really ready to touch on. You gotta be careful when you do that, you know. Because you get a half truth out there, and people run with it, and that wasn't my intention. And let me back up a minute. Now I'll go ahead and say on this. Those of you out there, I got a couple emails. I got more than a couple, but a couple emails regarding this. And I was on Doug Hagman last night. God bless Doug Hagman. Golly, that guy's a friend. Can I tell you why he's a friend? He had me on yesterday. And he promoted Coach Dave live show over. I know a lot of guys that won't promote anybody else. And Doug's one of the good guys, and he's really, really in all the way. And I just always want to thank him for giving me the opportunity to be on that platform. And appreciate his friendship. Just want you to know that, Doug, if you're listening this morning. Sometimes I think he does. And on a show yesterday, I touched on the same subject that I touched on yesterday, and that was the Supreme Court. And the fact that there were six Catholics and three Jews. And so, you know, people are going to read things however they want to read things, okay? They're going to read things. It was not an assault on Catholics or Catholicism. If that's the way you took it, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not apologizing for what I said, anything I said. Wasn't about that. I know some great Catholics. I know some lousy Baptists. And as Mark Trump said after the show, I think it was Mark after the show, said something that's really, really profound. Why do we always have to put something in front of our Christianity? Why do we have to be a Baptist Christian or a Lutheran Christian or a Methodist Christian or a Catholic? Or why do we have to put these qualifiers in front of who we are, these identifiers, rather than just being a Christian? Why isn't that good enough? So the point that this whole thing comes together on was the point that I was making. You would all agree with me. Wouldn't you all agree with me that Catholicism is not like Protestantism? That's why they call it Protestantism and Catholicism. As to whether or not the gospels and doctrines of Catholicism are pure and true, I'll leave that up to somebody else to decide. All right? I could pull the Barack Obama and say it's above my pay grade. I know a lot of Catholics who love Jesus with their whole heart, serve the Lord. And I know some who are really, really lost. But it's the same of every type of denominational Christian that you come across. The point I was making yesterday, and I'm going to make again today. Well, I'm sorry if I make people mad. I'm a truth detector, okay? I'm a truth detector. There's something wrong in Christian America where 25% of, I believe it's about 25% of Americans are Catholic, about 25%, I believe. About 38% are what you would call some form of Protestantism, 25%. I say there's something extremely wrong when the Christian authority, whatever that is, on the U.S. Supreme Court is all from one denomination. I think there's something very, very wrong with that, that there are no Protestants on the United States Supreme Court. And having to do with whether they're good Catholics or bad Catholics doesn't have anything to do with that. Something very wrong. No Protestant, well, I hate that word. No evangelical Christians. Are there any tongue talkers on the Supreme Court? Are there any tongue talkers in America? Why shouldn't tongue talkers be represented among Christians, right? Right? No, Luann, there aren't any Muslims yet. Not yet. They're coming, right? They're coming. Comes back to faithism. Comes back to faithism, right? That you're allowed, if you cannot see that you are allowed to beat up on Christians, brother, you better get your eyes examined. One more thing. Stay with me. One more thing. And I'm going to tell you this again, and this always makes people extra mad, but I don't care. I don't care. Jews are lost. Jews do not serve Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ himself said that. An unsaved Jew is just as lost as an unsaved Muslim. Does anybody want to disagree with that? And so we have unsaved Jews and six members of one particular Christian denomination, not considered Protestant, representing a nation of Protestants. That was the point I made yesterday. I don't want to get bogged down on that. I want to clarify that.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach,
yes.
If I may, I had a conversation with Flip Benham on that exact thing. And we were talking about, and I went down and I said, Flip, I said, I'm not a pro-lifer. I'm not an abolitionist. I'm not an OSA-er. I said, I love Pass the Salt. I'm not a Pass the Salter. He goes, and what are you, Dale? I said, Acts 11, 20, 21. I am a Christian. Mm-hmm. That's what I am. We brand ourselves with
Amen.
I brand ourselves with all these things, but except branded with the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen, Dale. And they've done everything they can to try to isolate us and separate us. Yes, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on what Dale just said because it is so important. You know, the Bible is pretty simple in most of the important things that it has to say. And one thing it says is whatever in your heart comes out of your mouth. Now, if in our conversation, the words that come out of our mouth, if in our conversation we are identifying who we are and putting a label on what we stand for, if the first words out of our heart, if a denominational name comes out before a follower of Christ, like Dale just said, you know, what an impact, Dale. If the denomination word comes out first, that was in your heart above Jesus. God says, I will have no other gods before me. So just in people's everyday conversation as they're, somebody, oh, that's just an idle word. Hey, doesn't the Bible say that we will have to account for every idle word? Let's just take the simplicity of what the Bible says and start training ourselves to let it apply to our vocabulary, our lives, our beliefs.
It's just programming, folks. It's just programming. Yeah, I agree with what you said, Larry. I agree with it. People call themselves Baptists because they're programmed to do it. the program.
Coaches, what it is part of divide and conquer.
Yes.
There you go.
Yep. Yep. So this, as I often say, this is a theology-free zone. I believe in truth. I believe in truth. I'm going to shock you. I know some Catholics who are saved, and I know some Baptists who aren't. Okay? Let's just kind of leave it at that. But there's something fishy when none of the nine Supreme Court justices represent majority American Christianity. Hey, Jared, do a real quick Google search here for me, if you could, on religions in America, or America religion by denominations, or Christianity by denominations, and see what statistics they show. A lot of times, Wikipedia, somebody will have something like that. Let's just see, so we're all talking. If we're talking about equal representation, right? Okay, here we go. I think maybe you scroll down. There it is, Jared. There it is. Thanks, Jared. Awesome, man. Awesome. Stay at the top there, Jared. I think they were giving us some statistics. Right there. Christianity is the most adhered to religion in the United States, with 65% of polled Americans identifying themselves as Christian, down from 75%. It's down from 85% in 1990. About 62% of those polled claim to be members of a church congregation. The United States has the largest Christian population in the world, with nearly 250 million Christians. Among other countries, they have higher percentage of Christians among their populations. The official motto of the United States is "In God We Trust." All Protestant denominations account for 48.5%. There it is, friends. Protestants are 48.5% of the Christian population in America. How many Protestants on the Supreme Court again? While the Catholic Church by itself is at 22.7, which is the largest individual denomination. 22.7 are Catholic. Yet 22.7% of all Christian, how I'm saying this right, Catholic Church is representing all of Christianity, and it's a minority. Am I making sense here? The nation's second largest church and single largest Protestant denomination is the Southern Baptists. How many Southern Baptists on the Supreme Court? None. United Methodist Church is third, and the largest mainline Protestant denomination in the United States. There you go. How about this? Mormons are fourth largest church in the United States. Are there Mormons on the Supreme Court? No. So I'm trying to make the same point. How can Catholics be 22.7% of the Christian population and yet have all six Christian positions on the Supreme Court? That was a point I was making, and I'm sticking to it.
Hey, Coach. Well, representation. You don't have to make any excuses.
I'm not making excuses. It's an explanation. Go ahead, Alan.
It goes lockstep with the Congress, Coach. There's 478 that claim to be Christians in Congress, whether Catholic, Protestant, whatever. We still have abortion. We still have gay marriage. There's a bunch of lying going on. There's a bunch of folks that's claiming one thing but living another.
Well, Alan, it's because it's because they've told us that there's a separation between the church and state, meaning this. There's a separation between morality and government. Who are you to push your morality on me? They will never let a tongue talker on the Supreme Court because probably they think maybe that tongue talker might vote on what he believes. He might vote on that. See, Gorsuch yesterday, if I understand that right, I did a little bit of research. Gorsuch said his reasoning was that the very plain words of the Constitution grants freedom to everybody. That's what Gorsuch said. And even though his personal beliefs might be he thinks it's wrong, he has to go by what the Constitution says. Now, friends, can I tell you something? That's absolute foolishness. It's like when I was running for Congress, in one of the debates, somebody asked me a question, say, well, Coach, how do we know that if we get elected that you're going to go represent our values and represent what we stand for? And I said, you won't, and I don't. I'm telling you right now what I believe, and you're electing me based on what I'm telling you I believe. You're electing me. I'm going to take my values to Congress. So you cannot tell me that Gorsuch can say, I hold these values, but my values I'm not going to impose on everybody. Then you don't believe it. Then you don't believe that your values are true. That's all I would say. And so the idea of the separation between the church and state has told us that you have this life that you live as a Christian, and then you have this life as you live as an American citizen. And that there's a separation between the two. And that's hogwash, foolishness. Foolishness! The three members who are Jewish do not know Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus said that he is the truth, and they deny truth. I don't care about Zionism. I don't care about any of that stuff. You use your stinking head. Those three do not support, do not validate, do not promote the values of Jesus Christ by the very nature of their faith. Yes.
You know, there are three Jews on the Supreme Court, but what is the percentage of the Jewish population of the United States?
Good question, Jared. Can you find that? It's probably in there someplace. The Jewish population, it's like 1%, 3%?
That is 7 million, around 7 million.
Let's see what it says here. That's a great question, Gary. See, facts, folks, facts aren't racist, okay? Don't pull that card out of your pocket. Don't pull that out of your pocket. In 2018, there were 14.6 million. Now that's just two countries.
About 7 million, Coach.
Account for 81%. The Jewish population by country. There it is. No.
It's about 7 million, Coach.
We're missing it. There it is. Is this? Hey, Jared, I see it's. We can get a percentage. Let's see if they'll find a percentage for us. Because we're talking about representation on the Supreme Court, right? We're talking, if we're going to. By the way, we still have only what? One black? Only one black? Only one black. Of course, they're only 13% of the population, so there's probably ought to be two of them. You see anyone? Anybody see? I don't know. There we go. United States percentage. No, that's not right.
Hey, Coach, it's around 7 million.
Yeah, we just said that. 6.7, I think he just said. I'm trying to find out from a percentage population so that we're looking at representation. That's all I'm trying to get. In the United States, that's right. But it doesn't tell us what percentage of the population, the American population, are. That's what I was trying to find out. All right, now I've made all my Jewish friends mad and all the Zionists mad and made all those people mad. I'm just trying to do statistics here. That's all I'm trying to do. And ask how we can have three Jews on the United States Supreme Court. That would be Jews, three of the nine, that's 33%. 33%, right? 33% of the Supreme Court are Jews. What percentage are they of our population?
Here's your question.
2%?
5%. 5%, Coach.
2.01%.
If Jews and others are on there and Christians are not, Christian morals are not there.
Right, they're not there.
Jesus, so what morals are? Instead of saying, you know, they prevented Christian morals, what morals did they promote? What beliefs are there? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're secular.
What are they? What are those beliefs of those men? What based on their faith? You say secular. Based on their faith, what are their beliefs? What makes them different than Christians?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm not being anti-Semitic here.
Oh, see, okay. You shouldn't even have to explain that, should you? That's like saying, well, I'm not racist. Why should you even have to say that other than we've been programmed that way? Go ahead, Jeff.
I would say per capita, they have the most abortions and the LGBTQ per capita in that nation.
It's because, folks, it's because they have a different set of moral values. See, It's not anti-Semitism. It's that, if I understand this right, Jews don't believe that the soul enters the body till birth. That's what they believe. That's why they're not against abortion. That's my understanding of it. I don't know that, right?
I know this. Psalms 139.
Say it again, Dale.
There's one.
I said because they failed to read Psalms 139, where the Lord himself knits us in our mother's womb. I preached on Sunday, Coach. I came out. I got black people in my church. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not apologizing for slavery. I'm not apologizing for any of that. I said, here's my question. I said, if my dad robbed a bank, am I required to apologize? I said, if my grandfather robbed a bank and shot two people and killed them, I said, am I required to apologize? The answer is no. And I said, I'm sorry, but I haven't owned any slaves ever in my life. I said, I'm a slave unto Jesus, and I'm not apologizing unless I've done something wrong.
Amen, Joe.
Amen. I don't want to get bogged down on this, okay? But you get my point. We are, again, our values are not represented on the United States Supreme Court. They're not. Now, they are somewhat with Thomas. They are somewhat with Alito. But the other four Catholics, what, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Roberts, and I can't remember the one. It's a coin flip, man. You don't know which side they're going to be on. And I promise you this, folks, Judaism and Christianity are not the same. They're not the same. Hey, they are not the same. Do you understand that? Do you understand that a Jew probably would not walk into a Christian church? You understand that? Do you understand? I don't know this to be true. A Christian probably wouldn't walk into a synagogue and be accepted. I don't know. I've never done it. Maybe that sounds ignorant. Maybe it sounds racist. Point I'm making is what? We have people who do not follow nor believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they are making the moral laws for the rest of us.
Coach, you know and I know that the judicial branch of the government was given the least power of all three branches. We don't have representation, truly. And then Donald Trump, he doesn't hate us. He doesn't look at us as a threat, and he doesn't come at us like the other two branches. But the judicial system, when they were set in place, they were put in the basement because they were not to be regarded in any position. And now we treat them like gods.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we give them all authority, and not supposed that. Okay, I want to switch gears. That took 20 minutes. Hey, July 17th and 18th. Now, listen, I don't know if we have it up on our schedule yet or not. We are having a tactical training here at Sky High. Tactical training. I mentioned to somebody, was it on here yesterday? I don't remember where I mentioned it. That I think it's imperative, that means really, really important, that we as Christians learn how to defend ourselves. Now, that's whether or not you, if you're one of those dummies that thinks that picking up weapons is violent or aggressive, they gave us the Second Amendment for a reason. And the Second Amendment was what? To be secure in our homes, to be able to protect ourselves, defend ourselves. You can see more and more that that's going out the window. Especially, I've known for a long time where I live. If I call the cops, I don't want everybody to know where I live. Yeah, there's not one right down the street. There's not a police station right down the street where I live, where many of you live, where Mark Trump lives. Mark, if you call the cops, how long is it going to take him to get there, you suppose?
I don't know, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
It ain't going to be 2 minutes like you need it, is it?
And no.
Okay, yeah. So that being said, then we become our own, we're responsible for our own safety and own security, okay? And I think things are getting so bad, and I think things are going to be worse after the election, if we even have one. It's going to be a long, hot summer. That personal defense has become paramount, in my opinion. So on July 17th and 18th, and part of the 19th, we are going to do a tactical training on weapon, how to use them, how to clean them, how to load them, how to sight them in, how to That's what we're going to do here at Sky High. Now, I was talking to Gary Pierce yesterday. Gary's doing a lot of behind the scene work on this. We have to have some type of registration, and we're trying to figure out exactly how that's going to be. And Gary's working on that, and I got to talk with him today. I'm telling you this, just put it on your schedule and come if you can on July 17th and 18th and the 19th. Our living arrangements, all that, we'll work on. Some of you are going to have to camp. Some of you have to whatever. And we're going to ask some of you to bring some potluck food, different things like that. We're going to talk about guns. Yes. Pistols, rifles, ARs, shotguns, the difference, explain them, how to handle them. And then we're going to do a session on shortwave radio and how we communicate if the grid goes down. How will the Q still be able to connect with one another? Gary Donahoe's been doing a lot of research on that. Bobby Lee's going to do a little bit on first. He wants to do some first aid, and he wants to do some self-defense. We're gonna have a real packed weekend. We'd love for you to come and be part of it. So put that on your calendar, and we'll get the registration and everything up on the internet. But folks, it's just important that we know who's coming. Okay, it's just important that we do that. And a lot of times people will say, well, Coach, you know I'm coming. No, I don't. Assume I don't know you're coming. All right. Assume I don't know. And I heard from some people yesterday, they would love to have a session on canning. We won't do that this time. On canning food, on gardening. What was another one I heard? I can't remember exactly what it was. Just throwing that out there. I think this is going to be really, really, I think a lot of people want this kind of stuff. Yeah, we'll get a chance to go. Well, I was going to say go out on a boat, but we may not. If we got 50 or 100 people, we may not. They say, Coach, what about our own guns? Well, bring your own gun. Bring your own ammo. We may have to charge an ammo fee for those of you who don't have ammo because ammo is expensive. So all those details will we'll get those done for you. Anybody have anything to comment on that or anything else here before I dive back into what I came down the step to talk about?
Coach, this is Joseph. Hey, Joseph. If you can relate to Gary that radio in the box, he was out of stock. Now he's back in the stock. So if he wants to order one of the boxes, you know, radio and a can, I sent him the info on it.
All right, is Gary in here? I don't know if he's in here today. He's usually in here. We'll get the word to him. One of the things I would like Gary to be able to do is it's hard to do though. You know, there's a lot of when you start talking about the shortwave radio, there's a lot of different radios. There's a, you know, the radio that you have may not work where I live, and the one I have may not work where you live. And so it's kind of hard for us to say, hey, everybody get this radio, because we just don't know. We just don't know. And so it would be great if I could say to everybody right now, hey, listen, get this radio and bring it with you. But we don't know if it works where you are. So we're kind of guarding against that. And that'll be phase two of what it is we're trying to do. Good word, Joseph. Anything else? Hey, I am, again, I'm doing a little cleanup this weekend up at Sky High. Anybody can make it Saturday, sure could use you. Boy, it's really shaping up. Really shaping up, looking good. But we got just a lot of little pickup things like that, that if you're in the area and you could give us a couple, 3 or 4 hours, sure would appreciate it. That would be this Saturday. Cool. All right. Let me do a mea culpa. And here's another mea culpa. Yesterday we were talking about demons, angels and demons, and demons in particular. And I went through the list of who they were and all that kind of stuff. I kind of grabbed a source that I didn't really do. It's one of the dangers of me in this show, is I went with my gut because I wanted to talk about the fact that we're not taught the right things. And I maybe brought some information to you that really wasn't, maybe it wasn't biblical. I don't know. So I want to do a mea culpa, and I want to thank Samia for bringing it to my attention, some things that I really wasn't aware of. And I want to take you through a little bit of a study. Jared, if you will, go to Daniel 10, because I want to point out some things about in Daniel, the book of Daniel, verse 10, that I think are some important words in that. Excuse me. My cold's getting better. Hey, Randy, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, man. My cough's getting better. I got the cough last week, 2 weeks ago, when I got on that airplane. I'm telling you. In the third year of King Cyrus of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks, and I ate no bread. So Daniel went on a fast. And then the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of... His body also was like beryl, and his face is the appearance of lightning. See, folks, these are all significant. Every one of those things. That's why I paused there for a minute. These things are all significant if we need to do some research on them. But we're not going to go that deep. And his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me, they didn't see it. Remember, Daniel had been fasting. But a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. So they didn't see what he saw, but boy, they felt it. And they went and hid themselves. So this, and I was alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. So whatever happened to Daniel just drained him of everything, standing in the presence of whatever. So I'm laying there, so yet I heard a voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and said, "Get up, dude," set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So get that picture. Daniel's on his knees and his hands. He said to me, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, I understand the words I speak unto you, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent." And when he had spoken this word unto me, I got up. I was scared to death, but I got up. Then he said unto me, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord God, the Lord heard you, Daniel. He heard you. At that very moment, he sent me. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia." Boy, we could break that down right there, couldn't we? The prince of a kingdom of Persia. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. I couldn't get through. He said, "I tried to get down here, Danny, but I couldn't get down here, man, because I had great opposition." We would call that spiritual warfare, probably. Great spiritual warfare. "But lo, finally, Michael," calls him by name, "one of the chief princes." Who was Michael? Evidently, one of the chief princes. What did he do? He came to help me. Wow. "And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I've come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for the vision is for many days." So I'm not going to go on and on and on, but I want you to see the prince of the kingdom of Persia stood him. Michael himself shows up, fights a spiritual fight, evidently, because Daniel's in a natural realm and he's looking into a spiritual realm. And out of the spiritual realm, Michael's speaking to him and said, "Hey, sorry, man, sorry I'm so late getting here. I had a battle." No, it wasn't Michael speaking to him. It was another angel. So the idea of spiritual warfare is very, very real to us right here in this book of Daniel, right? And what does it say? "Lord heard me right away, but somebody was hindering me." Somebody was hindering. Is that what the wrestling, not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits and hype, is this what we're talking about? Is it about the assignments of the Lord? I'm asking, folks, because, hey, we haven't been taught this, have we? The assignments of the Lord trying to get through a spiritual dimension that we don't understand. And isn't it true that the Bible tells us that we're to put on the full armor of God? One of the reasons that we put on the full armor of God is we're to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Is there somehow or some way that none of us can really explain that the evil one is able to go from one dimension to another, able to shoot fiery darts from one dimension into another? It's fascinating, isn't it, to think about it, right? That there's a real war going on around us in the spiritual realm that we can't see. I'm just going to stop there for a minute because I got something else I want to show you. I wonder if anybody have a perspective on this? This real, real spiritual war that It's spelled out here in Daniel. There's a prince of a kingdom of Persia. Kingdom of Persia has a prince? What? There's a kingdom there? They're fighting against him? Took him 21 days? And finally, Lord Michael sent one of the chief princes. So the Lord has chief princes, and he came to help. And so the God dispatched not just an angel. He surpassed one of the generals. He dispatched one of the generals. Michael, this is such a battle there, Michael. You got to go down there. So Michael went down there. Is Michael just an angel? An archangel? What's an arch? I'm going to get into that. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Well, don't you know? You're just telling the story. No one takes it seriously. We're just playing at church. Don't you know?
That's right. It's just like David and Goliath. It's just another story, right? But there's a lot of information right there in verse 13. Prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. And 20 days, and Michael shows up. He's one of the chief princes. He came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Amazing, huh? Anybody else? Come on.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
When I experienced Black Lives Matter, and talking about different dimensions, when I look at the whole group of, it was like 200 people or more, and I saw like a mirage. You know, when you look down a highway, you see a waving of the heat coming off the roadway.
I saw
that. And it was such intensity. So that's my experience.
Amen. I'm with you. Anybody else? I got some more stuff. Stay with me. Anything else? So let's do this then. again, Sammy gave me this. It's really, really good. Jared, click on angels and demons, an overview of the Bible. Bear with me a second there, folks. It's good stuff. Stephanie's listening on the front. She said that was an aura that you saw. People say, you know, like that's what they depict with halos around angels, an aura. She said you saw an aura. There's an aura of evil, she said. So there are eight kinds of angels and demons in the Bible, eight kinds. I don't know about the validity of this, but I read it and it was really pretty good, okay? It was really pretty good. Again, I appreciate Sammy sending this to me. So let's take a tour of some of the specific types of angels the Bible mentions, okay? There are goat demons. You guys ever heard anything like this? Goat demons. And I'm going to give you an overview, and then we'll put the link in the chat, and you can go study it yourself. This is some fascinating stuff. Alignment, evil, number two. Let's get the weirdest one out of the way first. One of the obscure passages in Leviticus mentions goat demons or goat idols. And you can click on Leviticus 17. It'll show you. I don't know what that's all about. Oh, there it is, verse 7. They shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons with which they play in the harlot. This shall be a permanent statute to them throughout the generations. Oh, my goodness. Tearing down statues, aren't we, folks? We tear down statues. But the Jews drew a connection between these goat demons and the demonic figure Azazel, a villainous fallen angel from the book of Enoch. Azazel's in the book of Enoch, a fallen angel, villainous fallen angel. So this connection comes from a nearby passage in Leviticus 16, where the Day of Atonement ritual is being laid out for the people to follow. The Lord tells Moses and that one goat should be slaughtered and another is to be sent away into the wilderness. The actual verse says this: Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Interesting, right? But the Hebrew word translated scapegoat in this passage is Azazel. And there's good reason to believe it's meant to be a name like Yahweh of a specific being. Dr. Michael Heiser has some more stuff on this in his Unseen Realm, yada, yada, yada. I'm giving you an overview. Can I tell you why I'm giving you an overview? Because I'm studying this stuff myself. Nobody's ever taught me this. You don't come across this stuff. Second type of angels are seraphim. Seraphim. Well, seraphim's the singular word. Seraphim is seraph. When you put an M on the end of it, then it's like plural. It's like saying dog and dogs. So the seraphim is plural. Seraph is a type of angel. Isaiah sees seraphim serving in the presence of God's throne in the temple. And according to Isaiah, seraphim have six wings. Two are used for covering their faces, two for covering their feet, and two for flight. Seraphim have hands. The seraphim proclaim God's holiness to one another. And at least one seraph plays a part in the forgiving forgiving Isaiah of his sin. Remember, he took the coal, went and touched his mouth and did that? Seraphim is usually defined as a burning ones. A few other times the Hebrew root for seraph shows up. It's in reference to the fiery serpents that God sent to judge the children of Israel in the wilderness, or flying serpents that Isaiah talks about in two of his oracles. Okay, so we have goats, we have seraphim, and now we have cherubim. Wow. Could you pass the quiz on this before this? The word cherubim shows up a bit more often in the Bible and a great good deal earlier. They're mentioned 33 times, cherubim, 33 times in the Bible and only in the Old Testament. The most vivid description of the cherubim come from the prophet Ezekiel. And it seems that cherubim have multiple faces, but the faces vary in number and nature. However, the cherubim with multiple faces seem to have the faces of different creatures on the same body. Ezekiel 1, just click on that, Jared. It says, as for the form of their faces, each had the face of a man. All four had the face of a lion on the right and the face of a bull on the left. And the four had the face of an eagle. So we have four faces, cherub, man, lion, and eagle. Two faces, man and lion. Now, Ezekiel is describing a carved decoration in a vision. So it's impossible that the cherubim are merely carved in such a way that the viewer can only see two of the four faces. So cherubim have a humanoid form. They have stiff legs with calves feet. This is all in Ezekiel. Cherubim have human hands, possibly four of them. Cherubim have four wings, two of which cover their bodies. And cherubim are accompanied by mysterious whirling wheels. Ezekiel 10, pull that up, Jared. Then I looked, and behold, four wheels beside the cherubim, one wheel beside each cherub. The appearance of the wheels was like the gleam of a Tarshish stone. As for their appearances, all four of them had the same likeness, as if one wheel were within another wheel. Wow. There's a great deal more detail that I could go into, but you should read Ezekiel's description for yourself, Ezekiel chapters 1 and 10, and get better understanding. Cherubim guard things. Cherubim support God's throne. Cherubim play a part in God's judgment. So was the devil originally a cherub? Ezekiel's oracle against the king of Tyre is sometimes interpreted to be an account of Satan's fall from glory. He says, I'm not sold on this, yada, yada. Let's go next one, Jared. Again, do your own research. I'm just exposing you to it. So what do we have? What was the first one we had? We had goats. And then we have seraphim. We have cherubim. And now we have archangels. Archangels. There's only one character in the Bible called an archangel, and that's Michael. Click on that, Jared. Okay, we have to go. Seven biblical facts about Michael. You can go back and study that later. Okay. We don't know much about the specific duties archangels perform, nor do we know about how many of them there are. Arch or arc means chief. The book of Daniel calls Michael a chief prince. We just read that. So it's possible that the archangels are a rank above the next kind of angelic being, princes. Princes of the power of the air, right? We hear all this stuff. So we only see good seraphim. Cherubim seem to be good too, unless Satan was a fallen cherub, of course. But there's one type of supernatural being that we see on both sides of the heavenly war, and that's princes. We don't know much about angelic or demonic princes, but we do see a conversation between Daniel and an angel about the matter in Daniel's 10th chapter. In this chapter, an angel has a message for Daniel that should be delivered post-haste, but an opposing figure shows up and he can't get it through. So the prince of Persia blocks the angel for 3 weeks until Michael, the archangel, shows up. This buys the angel enough time to rush his message off to Daniel and return before the fight starts. And the angel mentions three specific princes: Prince of Persia, Prince of Greece, and Michael, chief prince, who stands guard over Israel. I'm not boring you, am I? I think this is fascinating stuff. Next one, Jared. I want to get through it. And then we have kings. We're still in Daniel 10. Remember how the prince of Persia was standing against Daniel's angel? Well, he wasn't alone. The prince of Persia is accompanied by the kings of Persia. Wow. Click on Daniel 10 right there, Jared. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. So the prince of Persia has some kings with him. I don't know why there would be one prince and multiple kings. It's possible that princes outrank kings in the celestial hierarchy. Or maybe this prince of Persia was a prize fighter. Maybe they brought in Muhammad Ali. Who knows? And then number seven, they have rulers and powers. And this is the people of the New Testament believe that they were spiritual forces at work. And they had some degree of power over our physical world and spiritual world too. For example, the Pharisees disparaged Jesus by saying he casts out demons by the ruler of demons. Jesus refers to the rulers of this world as someone who has nothing to do with him. Jesus prophesies that the powers of heaven will be shaken when he returns. And Paul believes that the church's struggle is against the rulers and forces of darkness in the heavenly places. I'm going to cut it off there because I don't want to continue to bombard you. But this gives us, again, the idea of a hierarchy of a war structure in the heavenlies. Oh, it's another living creatures. I'm sorry. Oh, John the... I don't want to get into... Okay, living creatures. John the Revelator saw the vision of the heavenly throne room. Instead of chapter 4, instead of cherubim or seraphim, he sees four living creatures surrounding the throne. These creatures seem to combine the attributes of both the seraphim and the cherubim, which is interesting. And John should have been familiar with Isaiah and Ezekiel's visions of God, like the cherubim. And anyway, okay? So again, and then do we get into guardian angels and all that? So if we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, if we don't understand the hierarchy, what's going on, how these things operate, maybe the best question is, why don't we? Why don't we? Can anybody watching right now tell me in their church that they've ever had a lesson on angels and demons and how that structure is formed? Can anybody? Come on in.
I've thought on it, Coach.
Yeah, I thought on it. Hey, we're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices, right? My people perish. Why? For a lack of knowledge. We don't understand. We don't understand the military hierarchy.
And we don't teach about Lucifer. We don't teach about where he came from. And we don't teach about these things. Plus, we don't teach people the idioms and the language that is used in the Old Testament to be able to identify these things as they come out. Could I read one thing from another thing about Daniel? I mentioned about watchers because I think this is important and it ties into what Michael Heiser is talking about, that there's a supreme court, but there's a higher court, and God actually holds court with the heavenly hosts. But if you look in Daniel 4, this will just take about 20 seconds here, okay, and go to verse 12. This is Nebuchadnezzar's second dream, and this is from him. This is him writing this. He says, I saw in a vision in my head while on my bed that there was a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out of it from underneath it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and its roots in the earth. Bound the band of iron and bronze and in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven and let him gaze with the beasts and on the grass of the earth. Let his heart, which is Nebuchadnezzar, be changed from that of a man and let him be given the heart of a beast, which is not a good thing. And let it pass seven times over him, and seven is a important number. This decision is by the decree of the watchers.
Wow.
So what he's saying is there's something going on in the heavenlies that the watchers have decreed. And the sentence by the word of the Holy One. Well, who are the Holy One? In order, and this is the reason why it was given. If you break every sentence down, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, give it to whomever he will, and he sets it over the lowest of men. That God, that he's saying is gives kingdoms to whoever he wills.
Mm-hmm. He's in control of it all, right? Now listen, folks. Stephanie, who's listening, just sent me this. She says, Azazel was one of the original that fell. and followed Lucifer. He made the pact up on that mountain, and he took unto him human women, Azazel. He taught many humans of the secret knowledge of the specialties. Each original angel that fell from heaven brought their own special talents. Wow, that's a unique thought. The hidden secrets, the occult, the Enochian and ancient languages, magic and spell work, plants and healing properties, stones and their healings and magnetic properties, i.e. making weapons, war, etc. See, we don't understand the war in the heavenlies. We don't understand these two opposing forces that are constantly arrayed and at work against each other. We don't have any understanding of it at all. And it's shameful to think that a 67-year-old Christian man like me has very little understanding of this. Go ahead, come on in.
Yeah, I've never read the whole thing, but I've heard audio excerpts of the Book of Enoch, and it lists a whole list of these angels that taught man all these, you know, different kinds of things as well. So it's in that if anyone wants to check it out.
Yeah, I'll ditto that. Enoch also names a number of angels by name.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In the first chapter of Enoch.
Isn't that funny to think they would have names? That's not unusual, is it, that they would have names?
Why do you think the Catholics took that out of the Bible, Coach?
I don't know.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I'll third that on the Book of Enoch.
Yeah, Tom.
But also, I taught on this throughout the years, a really good and I think a good intro book for guys to read. I call it fictional factional. I've had my kids all read them. Is the Frank Peretti books, This Present Darkness?
Oh yeah.
Those are phenomenal.
Yep.
And they give a good, kind of almost that panoramic view of what's going on in the physical realm and the spiritual realm and the way that they coincide.
Mm-hmm.
And go back and forth. But you also see that in the disciples. You see how Jesus called the 12. I mean, he sent 70 out. He had the 12, but he would always take Peter, James, and John with him. And there was a different, I don't want to say levels, but you saw different functions of the disciples, and you would have that with angels, I would believe, as well. And, it's a great topic, and I think it's an important one right now because, as in the days of Noah.
Amen. Hey, folks, listen. Hey, Jared, if you can pull it up there. Frank Peretti. That's a great catch, Tom. Peretti. Frank Peretti. Yeah, there you are. Folks, I'm telling you. Listen, if you have not read these books, This Present Darkness. Go to the three packs, Jared. This Present Darkness, the first one, $7.99. Piercing the Darkness. Just those two. If you would just start with those two books. Pastor Tom is right, man. This really opened my eyes to the demonic realm. I still don't understand it, but it really opened my eyes to it. So if you want to have your imagination expanded, I hate to use that word, but if you want to expand your ability to conceive this, Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. Now, I haven't read the rest of them. The Oath, The Visitation, that's good. They're all good. The Oath, they're all good. But the first two really, really do give you an understanding of the spiritual realm. And again, folks, it's a military structure. It's an authoritative structure. This guy answers to this guy, answers to this guy, answers to this guy. And so the spiritual battle that we're having, that's what we are fighting against. And our side has a whether we call them angels, whatever we call them, we have a military structure. On our side, the enemy, we know this, we have more because a third of the angels fell. So we got them outnumbered 2-1, but they're a persistent group, are they not? And a lot of them are being ordered to do what they do. They don't just do it on their own. They follow orders. That's why they understand. Remember when Jesus, when the, when the, uh, uh, what was that guy's name? Centurion. When he came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus to heal his servant, Jesus said, the centurion shows up who wasn't a Christian or wasn't a believer and said, I know that if you just say the words, I know he'll be healed. I know. Jesus said, wow, I've never seen anything like that. And the centurion said, well, you understand, I'm a man under authority. He said, I understand that if you say to this one, he goes. If I say to this one, come, he comes. I understand how it works. And he says, I understand you are the authority. And if you say it, it'll happen. We all understand it, see? Choking me up. The power that's available to us that we have not tapped into is heart rendering.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Amen, Coach. I was going to tell you that most Christians, heaven's that place you get to go to when you're good.
That's right.
Hell's that place you get to go to when you're bad. And nobody really knows what they're talking about when it comes to the three levels of heaven.
Well, Joe, there's so much we can get into. I mean, the whole Stephanie, I got to get her on. She keeps banging me here. Stephanie says Psalm 91 that calls angels for protection immediately when read out loud and try. Yeah, right. Call out, right? Right. Oh, she got watchers, the Gregory. Enoch is a must read. And Psalm 91 calls angels for protection immediately when read out loud and by true heart follower of Jesus. In fact, Terry sent me a Psalm 91 is warfare. Psalm 91 is spiritual warfare in action, if you were to read it. Jared, do we have time to go there real quickly? I don't want to pile too much on you because it's late. Hey, guys,
hey, Coach.
I'm walking through this with you, man. I'm walking through this with you. Yeah, go ahead, Craig.
Go to the book of Revelation, read about the seven angels over the seven churches. Each church had its own specific angel over it.
Yeah, because it's a military structure, right? There's that military structure.
Right. God has the same structure. Satan copied that structure or is applying that structure.
I wonder if every church has a demon over it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that's spiritual. See, folks, that spiritual war that we're all fighting isn't just between the devil and your finances. That's what, see, we have so trivialized this fight, this battle. We've made it so small that we think the devil and his minions are just out to get you. And it's not. You are simply one of the soldiers in the army. Of course they're going to try to take you out. But it isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's not about us. We have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. If you present your body, why does God want our bodies? A living sacrifice. Why does he want it? Because he wants to be able to use us in this cosmic war. We are weapons of warfare in the hands of Almighty God. If we present our bodies, we become atomic bombs against the forces of darkness, but we have very little understanding of how this
Bingo,
works.
Bingo, Coach. Yep. He wants us living sacrifices because living, breathing, moving around people can be obedient and do tasks.
That's right. And if we learned how to operate our spiritual weapons, right, which is certainly prayer and fasting, that's all of it, but specific thing. I got a text message yesterday. Let me see if I can find it. And I want you to know that I took it very, very serious. Don, I got it from Don. Don sent me this at 8:05 yesterday, and I took it very, very serious because my wife is getting ready to go someplace. And I know the enemy does not like this stuff being exposed, folks. He doesn't like this. He doesn't like it. And I got this from Don. He says, pray protection over your family and their vehicles. A friend with insight into the dark side has firsthand knowledge of how much they hate being revealed and having their hierarchy disclosed. So understand, we are like spies. We are revealing things about the dark side that they don't want exposed. The last thing they want is for the church to wake up and understand what in the hell is going on. And I meant hell. Yes, Mark.
You said atomic bombs. Now think about the resolve or what changes in an Islam jihadist head when he chooses to become a suicide bomber. Or he has to come to terms with it. At some point, he's left alone to go do his job. Now, maybe up until that moment, he's controlled. Are we willing to do that, to be left alone and give up our bodies to be gods? Mm. That's what a suicide bomber does. Right. He has such a strong belief that he walks to his death. Are we willing to do that for God?
He believes in the spiritual realm, doesn't he, Mark? He believes in it, and he knows that's where he's going. Do we believe in it?
Amen.
Do we know where we are going? Do we know, are we so sure of where we're going that we're willing to lay down our lives? See, if you lay down your life, it isn't really a sacrifice, right? If you know where you're going, it really isn't a sacrifice. Man, what a discussion. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.